Okay, we are ready to go. Must be a sunshiny day. There is not one person in the foyer waiting to get in. Everybody is here, raring to go. Come on, Rob, let's start. Come on. So how good is that? Morning to you all. We've had our first taste of summer last Friday. What is it? The 26th of November. It took us to get to above 30 degrees. But the weather was so good that we even had tables out the front on the front veranda for Friday friends on Friday with special Christmas delicacies. Yum. Thanks to those who've helped this to make this occasion something special for our church, from our church to the community. And talking of our church, Creative Connection, this is another paid ad, has its last meeting for the year this Thursday, the 1st of December. And anyone is welcome to come and see the special exhibits on the Show What You Have Done Day. So come between 10 and 11, but if you want a cuppa prepared by some very talented blokes, come around 10:20. Don't have to worry about me putting my thumb in the coffee. Somebody else does that. Also next weekend, we've got our market, our fair, and that will be fun, a fun fair. We're continuing today the story, the Her Story series with reference to Naomi and Ruth. Now, I know you always check out the front page of the Grapevine, so you know already that there are some special points that David will mention today. We're going to check that you cover all those points that you put on the Grapevine. And today we start the 4 weeks of Advent, and we light the first candle. Come on, Chloe. I have to have the words in front of me, but Chloe's got it memorised. You get that? Grab the microphone. Wait for your cue. Okay, so our theme for the first Sunday of Advent is hope comes from choosing to love. Choosing to love. Remember that for when I come back down later on. Today, as we begin our journey towards Christmas, we want to be led more into God's love for our lives, our church, and our community. We light the first candle and we remember hope. Let's light the candle, not yet. Light the candle first. She's got it. It's almost as if we practiced it. You've got it. Now it's your turn, your part.
Hope comes in different shapes and sizes through family and friends, even complete strangers.
Committed to memory, have you got that? As we reflect on Naomi and Ruth, we remember the hope Naomi received from Ruth as she said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you sleep, I will sleep. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." Our relationships with others give our lives hope. We give hope to others. I invite you to pray these words together with me. Lord God, whose love has been present from the beginning of time, help us to find ways to share your love with those we know and live with those we meet walking down the street or at the shops, on the buses, at work or play. Amen. Thank you, Chloe. Blow the candle out. We'll get Chloe back later on. But for now, come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship.
ship and come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship and come, just as you are before your God.
2, 3, 4, come. You've got it. Come. Okay. Let us sing another song. The next one won't be quite as crazy and as noisy and as fast. Sit down for the first time through and then we'll stand up for the second time through. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So you are sitting for the first, we'll sing it twice through. You can sit for the first time and then we'll stand for the second time.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. New every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Sing it again, but standing. Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you very much. You can be seated.
Yes, well, it's good to have everybody here today. Good to see you. A reminder, we've got our congregational meeting after the service. There'll be a 15-minute change. We've got time to adjust, grab a quick coffee, come back in, have a quick chat, and all that sort of good stuff. So, again, the meeting will be looking at our budget for 2023. Election of elders and a few other bits and pieces. Rob's already done a few other notices, so that's really good. It's all good. I think you've covered it well. Leon's going to come and share a few little ideas about, well, not ideas, a plug about some singing.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. Do you know what the season is? Would you believe it's Christmas? It's gone round so quickly. But on the 22nd of December, which is a Thursday afternoon, we're hoping to be able to have some of our congregation sing carols in the mall at Happy Valley Shopping Centre. Now, so far, I haven't had anybody to tell me that they were going to help me, because otherwise I'll be doing a solo. So, at some stage, can you let me know of your ability to sing between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock? So it's usually one of those things that we do for the community, and it's, well, a lot of people are very thankful that there are live people singing. Thank you.
All yours, Rob.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do some shopping. No. Want to come down the front? And yep, let's go. Come on. Okay, today we're talking about, well, I'm talking about, you're listening and you're going to nod at the right time, about choices, right? Choices. Sometimes we can choose to do something. We can choose to be early and ready and bright, like all these people who were at church this morning. Nobody was coming in late. Everybody thought, come on, I can do this. The sun's out. So they chose to get here. Now, sometimes things are getting in the way of choices, like the world. Sometimes we choose to do something and then it doesn't always work out. But that's okay. We can then choose. I want to see if you can do something. There are three words that I want you to think of. I like that. Now, I want you to choose to say those three words in a different way. You could say it, I like that, or I like that, or I like that. Or how do you think we could say it? Here's a microphone. Here's one that we prepared earlier. You got any ideas how we could say, I like that?
I like that.
That's very good. I like that. Do you want to say one? Are you going to say one? You can say, I like that. What's your favourite dessert when you put a spoon in your mouth and you taste that and you turn to somebody and you say, oh, I like that. What's your favourite dessert? Ice cream, a bicky, cake, jelly.
Broccoli ice cream.
Broccoli ice cream, beautiful. One of my favourites. If somebody served me up broccoli ice cream, I would sit there and I would eat it because I've got manners, and I would say at the end of it, I like that. That would have to be the way I would say it. How would you do it? How would you say it? What's your favourite dessert, you reckon?
Cake.
Cake! Oh, I love it. Cake. And if in our house, and it hardly ever happens, if in our house a bit of cake gets left a few too many days in the cake tin, and it's a bit crunchy and crusty, it hasn't got anything growing on it, but it's a bit crunchy and crusty, Mrs. Fudge, my wife, the amazing Varel, she makes custard to go with it. Oh, it's almost worth leaving some of the cake in the tin for a little while, and then you can choose to have it with custard. Oh, beautiful. Now, what about this? I want you to make a choice. I have got two drinks here. Okay? I've got two drinks here. You can't tell. So if you choose, you're not going to have them. These are just fun things to look at. We could have them. They're not going to kill you. I'm telling you that it's nice stuff, but we're not, because otherwise halfway through the next song, you'd have to pop out of the toilet because you think, oh, no, I've had a drink. I've got to go to the toilet. So we're choosing. We're making a choice. Which would you choose? Would you choose the one that you know looks like orange cordial and you know that it's there and it's only that much, so it's not very full, or would you choose this one that you don't know what's in it? There is something in it. Can you hear it? So there is something in it. So would you choose this one that you don't know what's in it? And you don't know whether it's just that. You would choose this one? You'd stick your neck out? You would. You wouldn't choose the one that you know is tasty and good. You would go for the one that you're not sure of. Wow, how brave. That's a brave choice. Sometimes we have to make brave choices. That's a brave choice. That's you saying, you're not going to have it, I'm sorry. You can see me afterwards for a drink if you want. It is water, and it is full. But here, you would have cordial. Lovely orange juice cordial. My dad picks the fruit to make the cotties, to make the cordial that I like best. That's a very old ad, don't worry. It's been on the telly for a long time. I've been around for a long time. So, yeah, that's right. So that's orange cordial. So you wouldn't choose the orange cordial. You would choose the stick your neck out and just try something. Very brave. Okay, one more choice. After church today, if you were wanting to play somewhere, so you want to go for a play somewhere, you could choose many different places. You could choose to play out on the playground. You could choose to stay inside the Sunday school room. You can't come in here because there's a meeting. Or you could choose to play outside in the car park. Which of those three choices do you think would be the best choice? Playground? What do you reckon? So it's playground, in the Sunday school room, or out in the car park? Sunday school room. Very sensible choices. What's wrong with the car park? There's cars there. So sometimes we have to make choices, working things out, because we know we've been in the car park before and there are cars there, right? So you know that the playground out there is good. You know that the Sunday school room is good. So they are some good choices. So there's a couple of examples of some choices that we make. Choices that we make that affect how we are. Now, when we get home from school, at the end of the day, we get home from school, And somebody says to us, either mum or dad or the next door neighbour or whatever, says, how was school today? You could choose to say, it was okay. Or you could choose to say, it was great. Sometimes I ask people to rate school on a scale of 1 to 10. So I say, what do you think school was today between 1 and 10? Like 10 is very good, 1 is dun-dun. Okay? So you could think about that. You could think, oh, yeah, we'll find some good parts. 5 is good. 5 is okay. Yep. 7. 7, good. Yep. 7 is heading there, okay? So when you come home from school tomorrow, see if you can remember to give it a rating out of 10. The people next door to me, when I ask them what their rating is for the day, they choose to think of some of the good things. See, they make a choice. They choose to think of some of the good things that have happened to them. Instead of saying, mum packed a pear for me in my lunchbox, and you know what pears are like once they've been in a lunchbox? Ugh. Do you ever have a pear in your lunchbox? When I was teaching, there was a boy called Daniel, and he often brought a pear, but the trouble was Daniel was a very energetic boy. And so his lunchbox was bounced around. So his lunch, a pear is not a good thing. That's just a little tip from Rob Fudge to anybody who wants to know. Don't put a pear in somebody's lunchbox. We are going to choose to sing a song. We are going to choose to sing a song about, what's it about, Chloe? Put on love. It's a song you know. Put on love. You know that one. You have. You've sung this before. I know that. Choose to be positive. Choose to say, yep, Rob, I know that one. Okay? Sing it with us. Choose to put on love. Now, the words. Can we just pop the lyrics up there? Yeah, you can pop up there. Malcolm, now, see how the lyrics of the chorus go. Put on love every day. We are going to choose to sing that as choose to put on love. So just before it starts, just before the word put, we're going to say choose to, because we are choosing to put on love every day. Never hide your love away. Don't save love for a special day. Just put on love every day, AA. Put on love every day. So we're going to sing, choose to put on love. If you choose not to sing that, that's okay. But we're going to choose to do that. Happy with that? No. Happy with that? Punch the air. Happy with that? Yes, Rob, that'll be fantastic. Let's go. One, two, three.
Choose to put on love every day. Never hide your love away. Don't save love for a special day. Put on love every day. Put on love every day. Put on love with your sneakers. Put on love with your old blue jeans. Put on love with your knickers. Put on love every day, put on love every day.
1, 2, 3, choose to put on love every day.
Never hide your love away.
Don't save love for a special day. Just put on love every day,
put on love every day.
With your jumper,
put on love with your jumper. Put on love when you comb your hair. Put on love when you brush your teeth. Put on love every day. Put on love every day.
1, 2, 3.
Choose to put on love every day. Never hide your love away. Don't save love for a special day. But put on love every day. Put on love every day. Put on love in the morning. Put on love in your class at school. Put on love when you play at home. Put on love every day.
Put
on love every day.
1, 2, 3.
Choose to put on love every day. Never hide your love away. Put on love every day, put on love every day.
Thank you very much. Well done. Choose to put on love. I'll just get a rating, Ross. 7 or 8? 7. Oh, 10! Yes!
The reading this morning comes from Ruth chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 21. Now, if I had to choose a story from the Old Testament that goes back many years, this one is embedded it goes back over 70 years. You know, there was one that was taught in school. So if I have to lapse into King James Version, you'll understand why, because that's the one that's embedded in my head. But it is a great story, and it's one that's been with me all my life, and never forget it. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, even if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty God has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" This is the word of the Lord.
So again, we're very fortunate to have amongst us some people who are going to help us unpack this scripture reading a bit more. So thank you, team. Look forward to that.
My heart is so heavy, and I'm weighed down with sadness. My husband has died, and my children, my boys also. My daughters-in-law and I are far from our homes, but I have told the girls to go back to their mothers, for they have no future with me.
Naomi, wait. Don't ask me to leave you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates us.
Oh, darling girl, thank you. But no, you need to go back to your mother, because this is no life for you.
So the two women went on until they reached Bethlehem. When they arrived, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?"
"Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has dealt harshly with me. I went away full, I come back bitter and empty."
So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, whom her Moabite daughter-in-law. Arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
We're going to have to stand for this. Trust and obey.
when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where His word we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other to trust and obey.
We'll bring the offering, and David, I was trusting that he'd be back from walking out on me, but he was.
Look, one of the wonderful things we get to do every Sunday is express our gratitude to life for the things we have. And so let's pause as we offer to God our gratitude for our lives and all that we have. Lord Jesus, we once again offer to You our lives, all the things that we have, in gratitude, because we know that You give us life and that in our abundance we can share with others. We ask that You bless all that we have and all that we give. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
As many times as I went through that little drama, it brought tears to my eyes this morning as we, it's a very poignant story, isn't it? Very poignant and beautiful. It just so happened that I was on the plan to bring the prayers this morning, so let me do that now. But just before we enter into prayer, last week we spent a few days on Kangaroo Island, as many of you know. It was awful weather, but we still drove around the island and saw lots of good things. But what particularly moved me was to see very tall, seemingly dead trees reaching skyward. And yet at their base was this amazing new growth. Dense and rich in colour, a whole variety of plants just seeming to bound up from the ground. And remembering the blackened devastation of just a couple of years ago, I saw this new growth as wonderful signs of hope and renewal, the promise of God. So as people of faith, hope gives us courage and the ability to carry on even when things seem impossible.
because our hope is grounded in a risen Saviour who is constantly working, healing, restoring, and renewing all God's creation. So as we share in prayer this morning, believe that your deepest prayer will be heard and that God is able to do abundantly more than you can ever dream or imagine. Let us come before our Creator God in prayer. Creator God, whose majesty is seen in all creation, whose mercy reaches to all created, who needs nothing we can offer and yet gives us all we need, who silences the shouts of the proud, amplifies the whispers of the humble, hears the cries of the hurting, please hear our prayers which we offer this day. In faith, Lord God, we come to you with deep cries of concern about the state of our world, so much of which is broken by human disrespect, cruelty, greed, self-interest, and power struggles, all of which create fear and hopelessness. Oh God, our world seems to be on a knife edge at this time. Wars continue, and ordinary people suffer while leaders bandy around words, and there seems no common ground on which to stand. Yet courageous people continue to hold on to the hope that wars may cease and life might return to normal. But who can say what is normal? Our prayer is for peace in our world. We pray that hearts will be opened and the common good put before self-interest, desire for power, and total disregard for others, because that is what you require. But then there are those natural disasters, Lord, which disrupt and cause havoc. So many people affected by earthquakes, floods, and fires, all of which leave people struggling to make sense of it all. Thank you, Lord, for the hundreds of people who, with compassionate hearts, care for those affected, stepping up to bring relief, often at great cost to themselves. Those angels who restore hope to a devastated community. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. We are so grateful that through the presence of your Holy Spirit, we are able to see beyond what is to what can be. Help us to respond with hope, courage, and strength to the challenges which daily confront us. Help us to never give up. There is so much injustice in our world, Lord. So many people suffering from persecution and rejection. Please help us to be courageous enough to speak out against injustice, to be instruments for change, that we might make a difference for those who feel lost and abandoned. We pray for those who are desperately struggling to survive in this time of economic challenge. We pray for those who are homeless and living rough, and we thank you that there are people who step up and make it their priority to care for these people, to provide basic necessities, warm blankets and a free feed. Lord God, some of us face significant life decisions. Some of us have major health issues. Some of us who have family members or friends who are really struggling at this time and for all sorts of reasons are finding life difficult. Concern over children or grandchildren who have lost their way. Lord, help us to be there for them, to hear their cries, and to be your reflection to them. O God, we pray for the peace that enables us to leave it all in your loving hands and to trust that no cry or whisper escapes you and that you will journey with us through the season of life. God of grace and God of glory, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Help us to trust the big picture to you and seek to be bearers of peace, hope and reconciliation wherever we find ourselves in the little picture. O Holy One, we have a long way to go to do your will, to love ourselves, to love our neighbour, to love you. We get distracted. So much is going on around us worldwide. We have so many demands upon our time and energy. Protect us, comfort us, cleanse our physical wounds, calm our racing thoughts, hold us tightly, whisper to us as we feel a grey despair that clings in these times of war, famine, drought and flooding rains. Help us to be to those around us the presence of Jesus, offering love, grace, compassion and hope in every situation. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore. Let us now share the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples so long ago. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive them who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our gathering today. We ask that your Spirit would continue to stir us with a new insight into life and faith and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, I had to duck out before and get a copy of The Grapevine. Rob said he was going to grade me on the fact of my 1 to 10 on the basis of whether I ticked all these points. Hey, look, it's interesting. I like, you know, normally when we hear scripture readings, you know, it's words. When it's acted out, it gives you another sense of the emotion behind it. And so thank you for the emotion, because that really helps us get into what we're trying to do with this reading. And her story, the series is really trying to, I guess, help us unpack some of the nurturing, the love, the life, the witness, the faith, the bravery and courage of women in Scripture as well. On the slide up here, which is coming, it really helps us understand a bit more that there's a transition that is happening in the Bible in lots of different spaces. It's a bit like last week we picked up on the next slide, there's a liminal space, you know, like, no longer what is to be. And in the middle, Naomi and Ruth find themselves. And I have to say, it's very much like us as a church in the West. It's very much like many of us as we go through different age stages in our lives. You know, that what has been, what is not yet, that awkward middle. And when you think through that story, there was lots of different tensions in the Ruth and Naomi story. I mean, basically, Israel and Moab were at war with each other. In fact, they discovered a stone plinth, which has basically Moab saying, nah, we beat Israel, and put some dates. You know, so there was a competition between the two peoples. And so the fact that, well, it's a bit like, when was the last time, or can you remember going somewhere for the first time? Like, maybe you've gone to a school for the first time and it's not your normal school and you've moved schools. What does that feel like? Put your hands up if that's the most exciting thing ever. It can be exciting, depends what your last school was like. But it can also be very challenging, can't it? Because you're going into a different culture. You don't know the school, you don't know the people, you don't know the teachers, you don't know where the toilets are. you just don't know anything. And so you go into this environment. And so that's very much like Ruth is investing her and committing her life with Naomi, but it's a very unknown journey she's embarking on. One of the things in those days is we only mingled with the people who you were raised with. Same God, same faith. You weren't supposed to mingle with people beyond. And younger people were always supposed to respect their elders, and so if the elder says no, you just listen. Naomi and Ruth had that discussion, and Ruth said, yeah, well, whatever, I'm coming with you. And the other thing is that in their culture, women were supposed to commit their lives to men. So having a younger woman commit herself to an older woman who was basically poor, no real future wealth opportunities, really. There was no social security in those days, so you lived and died by the efforts of your own hands. So here we have these two people committing together in an unknown adventure into the future. So as I said, there's some lessons that we can take away with this, and Susan Nelson helped me unpack this a bit. She had about 13 different ones, but I sort of picked out some that I thought were relevant to us today. Your past is not your present or your future. I like that. It's a really quite a catchy phrase, isn't it? You know, you meet people who go through life and all you hear about is all the things that went wrong in the past. And what that happens is it just sort of blinds them to the now, which means it impacts their future. Now, you can imagine both Naomi and Ruth lost everything. And that past could have been something that so crippled them, they could have just curled up and died, as some people do. What was it that enabled these two women to step beyond the society bounds, to step beyond the obvious restraints of not having any wealth or money or men? What was it that enabled them to step forward? It's an interesting question, isn't it? What is it about us? I mean, how do we continue to face the future? What is it that we connect in? What is it about our faith or our relationships with others that sustain us? Now, I would like to think that what we do on a Sunday morning helps support us through the week, connects us in, helps grow us. For me, it's always like our journey of faith when we're connected is trying to see ourselves as God sees us. So somehow that relationship within us gives us a bigger picture, a hope beyond the now. The second one we're having is no one is unimportant to God. As I mentioned before, it would be very easy to see herself as less than. Ruth, the Moab woman, who she's referred to constantly, it's almost like, I can't believe this woman is even in the scripture, let alone a book named about her. A Moab woman who was an enemy, listed in the Bible as a person of note and faith. How is it? Ruth was poor, she was a widow in a distant land. And it's amazing, some people just have an inner tenacity, don't they? Some people just have an inner drive that just is inspiring. In fact, you know, when we look around, we probably, if we're honest, don't really consider ourselves as having a great inner drive or tenacity. But the truth is, for many of you, as Ross said, he's 70 years of working through this story, 70 years of life. Each one of us has a story that has tenacity in there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. There's that kernel within us of connection, of hope. And what is interesting that Ruth actually becomes linked to King David through the line of Jesse. In fact, she becomes the grandmother of King David. So this outcast, outlying woman gets connected in through her relationship with Boaz, and somehow Jesus has a line connected through this outcast woman. All right. I'm skating through these, and I'm conscious ever of Rob's grading of me. So, character matters. Now, character is one of those words that we use in lots of different ways. There are character-defining experiences. You know, those forks in the road where you know you have a choice. And the choice you make will have an impact on your life and others. Sometimes we make that choice wrongly and have to live with those mistakes and do some unwork. Other times we are able to make the tough decision, even if it costs us. There was a quote, "Your character is who you are when nobody is looking." And that's always a challenge when chocolate is around for me. But it's a true point. In serious areas, character is who you are when no one is looking. There was one of the army generals had a quote which said, "The standard you walk past is the standard you accept." So that was Morrison. And he was really saying that in regards to a whole pile of inappropriate behavior that was happening. So character is one of those things that we all have and we all need. And someone like Ruth showed immense character. And to be honest, so did Naomi. Like, Naomi went back to her hometown. And you can hear in the scripture there was a big hubbub, a big, you know, excitement. Here's Ruth. Here's Naomi. And who has she got with her? You could always hear that underlying, you know, gossip. Sitting around the kebabs. "Oh, did you hear about Ruth? And oh, Naomi. Oh, look." There was a cartoon I came across, which I thought was quite funny. Here's the boss in the middle. And apologies, it should have been a female, but I couldn't quite find a character with a female boss. But the boss says, "Anyone whose phone rings during this meeting will be fired on the spot." Guess whose phone goes off? His phone. The boss's phone. So, character. He should have stand up and said, "I fire myself immediately." But character costs us something. Because sometimes we have to do things that we feel, well, actually, when you're living your values and your character, you're willing to take that hit because that's who you are. The next slide really picks up that idea of redemption for everybody. And again, part of this story out of Ruth, both these women are looking for redemption. You know, the mess of life, and Naomi's grief is so immense. She wants to change her name. Naomi's grief is so strong, she wants to change her name from pleasant to bitter. That's the meaning. Interesting, isn't it? Would you change your name to a bitter? Sometimes we feel bitter, but the journey of faith is about redemptions, the opportunities. And I, from a Christian point of view, we're all saying, hey, opportunity for a new start are important. It's an opportunity for life. Before Nike was ever a logo, part of what both Ruth and Naomi did was just do it. They could have sat in a corner and felt miserable and sad and sorry for themselves. But they made some decisions, they made some choices, and they simply just followed it through. And when you're a person who is a refugee, who is poor, then how you get food is a real challenge. And one of the comments that Susan makes is, well, Ruth didn't sit down and try and figure out a job application or get a job specs perfect. She just went into the fields and just started working. And so committed was she for her work that actually she was noticed. And the foreman went to Boaz and said, look, this foreign woman, man, she works hard. And it's through that connection that Ruth comes to Boaz's attention. And it's through that relationship that Ruth then makes a connection with Boaz. And I had to laugh reading in scripture. It talked about how Ruth, wanting to get Boaz's attention, did the following. She put on her best clothes and fragrance. Not much has changed in 3,000 years, has it, women? You want to get a man's attention? I just laughed. Some things in our DNA makeup as human beings has not changed. And we read the Bible as if it's some past event, but actually, it's human beings struggling with stuff of life. That's why it still is relevant. Ruth was a woman of courage. So I guess, you know, like I would imagine the sense of dread that Ruth would have had walking to Bethlehem knowing she was a foreigner, an enemy, it would have been just overwhelming at times. And there have been different times in my life where I've had that sense of dread. But I think that, you know, it's a bit like bravery. Bravery is not something you have by yourself. Bravery is in the midst of fear. And so it's the same with this courage. It's stepping up, it's connecting. And what I love about this particular comment was that when the women say to Naomi, you know what, you might not have had sons, but this Ruth Moabite slave woman, she's worth 7 sons. So significant and powerful is she. So that 7 is a reference to wholeness. That's a pretty insane thing to be saying. All right, courage. We need a bit of light to shine on us, and that's really what I guess Ruth was able to do. I'm not sure about you, but have you had your own Ruth moment in your life? Maybe there's a time when you've had to maybe pick up one of those 6 things and adjust in your life. Look, enough for me, but what I wanted to do is invite Marge and Kristen to come forward briefly and share a few reflections on what they connected with. Without further ado, rock, paper, scissors.
Look, after forgetting half of my lines, I think I should have written this bit down too. I just love Ruth. I think she's so inspiring, particularly for her loyalty and her dedication to the one true God that she recognised. As we were unpacking it, we realised, you know, that she was choosing to support a vulnerable, broken woman, despite the fact that that meant that her life was going to be harder, that she was going to potential poverty. And it was just, yeah, it was just really inspiring to see that she committed to that, not knowing how it was going to work out, just decided to go for it. And I was really inspired by that. Thanks.
Thank you.
And sorry for forgetting my lines.
You didn't forget your lines. No, you didn't.
It's live. This is live.
A bit like Ross, I've known that story for a very long time. But when I was asked to do this, I decided to go and read the whole thing right through again. And I guess, so I wrote down some thoughts that came to me as I did that and in the light of what Kristen and I were to do today. And these are the thoughts that came to me. For me, the story of truth of Ruth is simply a beautiful love story. Ruth's love for Naomi knew no bounds. She was prepared to step out of the boat and go with her, recognising that this would not be easy, but somehow she loved enough to be able to do that. And I thought, where love is, God is. And God blessed both Naomi and Ruth beyond all they could have imagined that day when they both arrived back in Bethlehem, with Naomi a sad and broken woman. One act of love, committed, selfless love, changed so many lives as we look through that whole little book of Ruth. The number of lives that were affected by that one act of love. So it's a very, very powerful story.
Thank you.
So turn to the person next to you. What is one thing you're connecting with? If you're sitting by yourself, think, what is one thing I'm connecting with from this time so far? As Rob and the team come back up, what is one thing you're taking away from today? Someone asked you, what did you do Sunday morning? What did you learn? What happened? What would you say? Let me share a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the different images that today's service has presented us with. We ask that there might be something that your Spirit stirs us with, something we might take home with us, apply to our lives this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I reckon probably 9 out of 10, 9.5. Got to give a little room for improvement, but that was good. Kristen and Marge, yeah, 9, 9.5, that's all good. Ross, 9, 9.5, that's great. I'm happy with that, that's fantastic. The team up here, that's 10 out of 10, I'm sorry, but I'm impressed with these guys. I was going to, because of the flute, I was going to slip home and put my leotard on and do some dancing to the flute, but I don't think it's washed, so I thought I'd just leave the leotard for today. One of my favouritest songs is this one which we are about to sing, and it's called Jesus Please Watch Over Us. And it says, as we step from the edge of morning, and we've got a meeting next, and so we need Jesus to watch over us. And then whatever's happening for lunch, and then for tea, and then tomorrow, and then Thursday, and then Friday, and then our special day next Saturday at church here outside, we want Jesus to watch over us. So see what I mean? Nobody had planned this. This team is amazing. Just accept that, okay? Okay, 10.5 out of 10. I'll accept that. That's good. As we step from the edge of morning, let's sing it. Standing up. A bit faster. Here we go.
As we step from the edge of morning, feet can't tell when to take us. Take care.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one of us now and forevermore.